get here?
Hello all and welcome back to How Did I Get Here, where we live our best lives on the internet and come out on the other side, knowing more but not feeling all that much smarter. It's me, Alexa. I am your host and you are welcome for that. So yes, as you can tell, I am sitting here and I did just introduce myself. My name is Alexa and unfortunately I am not J6, but that is because we are waiting for our dear friend to get back to his best, absolute best, power level over 9,000 state of being. And in the meantime, I am here as your host, so please bear with me. And also, you might have noticed we're a little minimalistic, so to say. That is because Dive Studios is moving on to a bigger and better space. So please look forward to that in the future, however near or not near it may be. Yes, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast, leave a review, and just, say Alexa is a better host than Jay if you want to. I don't care, but whatever. And, all that good stuff. And don't forget, you can check out full episodes on Dive Pods, youtube.com/divepods. And I feel like it's necessary to also plug, we got a TikTok, which is Dive Studios. Check that out. So we're just going to go ahead and hop into today's topic, which is how can I stay motivated? Which I ask myself every morning when I wake up. So I guess there's two different types of motivation, which is intrinsic motivation and extrinsic motivation. Let's hop right into that. All right, the incentive theory of motivation and intrinsic versus extrinsic. Extrinsic motivation. According to incentive theory, behavior is primarily motivated by the incentive of extrinsic factors. Learning objective. Differentiate between intrinsic and extrinsic incentives as related to theories of motivation. Some key points here are motivation is commonly separated into two different types based on the nature of the motivator, intrinsic, which is arising from internal factors, or extrinsic, which is arising from external factors. Of course, intrinsic, internal, extrinsic, external. Yes. Let's see. Interesting. So intrinsically motivated behaviors are performed because they because of the sense of personal satisfaction that they bring, whereas extrinsically motivated behaviors are performed in order to receive something from others, such as a promotion, praise, candy, money, or attention. Wow, they really threw candy in there. All right. They really threw candy in there. It's like, you do good on the PowerPoint here. Have a Tootsie Roll. Let's see. Intrinsically motivated behaviors are performed because of the sense of personal satisfaction that they bring, according to Desi. These behaviors are defined as ones for which the reward is satisfaction of performing the activity itself. Intrinsic motivation thus represents engagement in an activity for its own sake. For example, if you're in college because you enjoy learning new things and expanding your knowledge, you are intrinsically motivated to be there. Oh, if you're one of those people, God bless you. Oh, I wish that was me. And then extrinsically motivated behaviors are, on the other hand, they are performed in order to receive something from others or to avoid certain negative outcomes. Theorists define extrinsic motivation as engaging in an activity to obtain an outcome that is separable from the activity itself. The intrinsic motivator is outside of and acts on the individual. Rewards, such as job promotion, money, a sticker, or candy. This is written here. A sticker or candy, yes. Are good examples of extrinsic motivators. Social and emotional incentives like praise and attention are also extrinsic motivators since they are bestowed on the individual by another person. If you guys had went to the doctor like I did when you were a child, do you guys remember, the doctor would be like, okay, if you get your shot, we'll give you, candy or, there's, a sticker box or whatever. Like, that works whenever you're a child. But now, as a 23-year-old, I'm not so easily swayed. But was that something that y'all had as a kid, too? Drop that in the comments down below. Did y'all have, doctors trying to persuade you to take your medicine or get a shot because they'd give you a sticker or a piece of candy or just something like that? Because I feel like that's a common thing with healthcare professionals when it comes to little kids, because they're so fearful or because they misbehave so much. There's always got to be an incentive, for the dentist too. Little kids are so squirmy. They don't want to get their teeth clean. They don't want to get their braces tightened. And it's like, if you do, you can get something like a sticker or like a piece of candy. Maybe not if you get braces, but you get what I mean though, right? Like, Was that something for y'all? If you relate, drop a comment. So why we lose motivation so quickly? Let's take a gander at this one because I would like to read this. One reason, I guess, is not being satisfied with what you've done, which I could definitely understand. Not like when you lose motivation on something, like I feel like human beings, not all of us, I guess, but I feel like we can get frustrated so easily. And so, you know, if we're doing something that we're so passionate about, but we don't see much progress going, we tend to get frustrated. And that makes us feel negative emotions towards what we're doing, therefore losing motivation. And like it says, trying to be perfect is a common cause of motivation loss because it just isn't possible. Many of us are afraid to try new things or complete projects, thinking, why bother? I know it won't be good enough. Instead, we should focus on trying our best. And I feel like this could be applicable to not only work, but like your social life, your romantic life, like even just your everyday life as you as an individual. Like, I mean, if I could draw an example from a friend. One of my friends has this horrible, horrible luck, unfortunately. God bless you. You know who you are. Of falling for the wrong people, so to say. And it's not that like these people are bad people, but like, I don't know. It's just, I feel like right before my friend tends to like secure the bag and be like, yes, this is the one, something happens. It's kind of like, so she loses motivation and she's like, I'll never love again. I mean, I understand that. But it's like, you know, I don't know. I mean, whether it's motivation to keep pursuing a healthy emotional relationship with somebody, to keep pursuing a healthy, like, just motivation. Wait, what? Keep pursuing a healthy relationship with your inner self, even. I feel like motivation is something you definitely need because self-care is something I feel like we easily neglect. And, like, there's no motivation for it typically. It's like, what if I decide to not do my skincare today? My skin is horrible anyway. Mwah. But like, I mean, you know, just because your skin isn't clearing up immediately doesn't mean it won't in the future. So just keep at that skincare, you know. I feel like we as humans are very greedy and we search for instant gratification. So in which whenever we lose motivation to do something, it's kind of just like because it's not immediately fulfilling. But very little things in life are like immediately fulfilling. Very little. Very little. The only thing that like brings me instant gratification is like the 3 minutes I got to wait for like ramen to heat up in the microwave. That's it. But other than that, there's not much we can say for instant gratification. So humans being a little greedy, wanting everything in the here and now for ourselves, I just say work on that motivation and also practice patience. I feel like that goes a long way with motivation. I'm someone that has very low patience with themselves. Like, I'm very impatient with myself. Like, if I can't get this dance move right, I'm like, oh, I'm a failure. I'm so untalented. I can't do anything right in life. Huh. But then you got to sit back at the end of the day when you're home after you get out of the shower and you're contemplating life on your bed. It's like, I'm not untalented. I'm not worthless. I can do it. I can do it. I know I can. I look back on the things I've achieved and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to use those as motivation because I had moments just like this one when I sat back and I'm like, I can't do this. La, 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 la. But then I did it. So I feel that you got to be patient and look back on your past failures, I guess, your past faults that you find and use those as motivation to keep going for the future. Meh. Let's see. Motivation or lack thereof may be caused by your genes. Interesting. Because I do know one factor of motivation and, you know, apathy and overall that stuff. It can be, I was going to say liquidated. That's not the word. Liquidation is, woo. Okay. Attributed. Attributed to mental health things like anxiety and depression. Motivation can be a big thing that gets lost in translation with those. So this article reads, don't blame kids if they do not enjoy school, study suggests. Ha ha. So those of you that are intrinsically in school, this article is not for you. Columbus, Ohio. When children are unmotivated at school, new research suggests that their genes may be a part of the equation. A study of more than 13,000 twins from six countries that found that 40 to 50% of the differences in the children's motivation to learn could be explained by their genetic inheritance from their parents. Interesting. Let's see. Let's see. The results of this experiment strongly suggest that we should think twice before automatically blaming parents, teachers, and the children themselves for the students who aren't motivated in class. The knee-jerk reaction is to say someone is not properly motivating the student or the child himself is responsible, one of the researchers says. We found that there are personality differences that people inherit that have a major impact on motivation. That doesn't mean we don't try to encourage and inspire students, but we have to deal with the reality of why they're different. I mean, I feel like if you take away anything from this episode today, we're all different. That's everybody's different. We all work in different ways. So, I mean, yeah. Let's see. This study involved separate studies of twins aged 9 to 16 in the UK, Canada, Japan, Germany, and Russia, and the United States. The study methodology and questions in each country were slightly different, but all measured similar concepts. In all the countries, students completed a measure of how much they enjoyed various academic activities. For example, in Germany, students rated how much they liked reading, writing, and spelling. All students were asked to rate their own ability in different subjects in school. For example, in the United States, students were asked to rate how much they agreed to statements like, I know what I will do well in reading next year. I know what I will do well in reading next year. Yes, okay. The researchers compared how close the answers were for fraternal twins, who share half of their inherited genes on average, with identical twins, who share all of their inherited genes. To the extent that identical twins' answers were more closely matched than those of fraternal twins, that suggests the stronger genetic effect. Let's see. Most personality variables have a genetic component, but to have nearly no shared environment component is unexpected, one of the researchers says. But it was consistent across all six countries. The results don't mean there is a gene for how much children enjoy learning, so to say, but the findings suggest that a complex process involving many genes and gene-environment interactions that help influence children's motivation to learn. That's really interesting because I'm curious. Were you guys, like, did you guys enjoy school? Like, are you someone that genuinely, I cannot speak today. Incredible. Were you someone that genuinely enjoyed being in school and learning? Because for me, I would say that was me as a child, minus math. I just, not math, no. But I mean, when it came to things like history, English, specifically science for me, I really did enjoy learning and being in school for that. But I don't know, there are kids that just genuinely don't like going to school, don't like studying. And I get that. Like, which one were you? Were you someone that you enjoyed going to school and learning or someone that was kind of like, Matt, I got better things to do. I'm kind of curious, so drop a comment there. I think for me, when it comes to like a reward system versus like self-motivation, I feel like I'm honestly more self-motivated because sometimes if there's a reward system in place, but like what I need to do is just kind of absolute, just like, I don't care what the reward is. I'm not going to do that because there have been situations in my life when it's been like that. And I'm like, that is not correct. No. I guess there's like, what's the word I'm looking for? It kind of loops back to immediate gratification versus something, a grander prize in the end of things. Cause it's like when I was a trainee, you know, like doing your like weekly evaluations, it's not going to be immediately gratifying. Like you don't do your first week and you're like, yeah, you're debuting. Like, you know, you got to train for a while with that goal in mind that you're going to later debut. And that's what like your reward is in the end. So, I mean, I guess there's different forms of motivation, like short-term motivation and long-term motivation. Let's say that. So for me, training until debut was long-term motivation. When it comes to like short-term motivation, where it's like, if you read the first half of this book by tonight, you'll get a steak dinner or something like that. It's like, great. I can just go buy myself a steak dinner and not read the book. I don't care. Like, you know, those things. But would I do anything differently if I could go back to school and try to condition myself better to study? I don't really think so. That's the thing. I never really actually studied in school. And I don't mean like I blew off my studies, but like I never really studied. I'm fortunate that I have a good memory with things. And so studying was really never something I really had to do unless it was for math, because AP BC calculus. That was not fun my junior year. But I don't, if you genuinely enjoy calculus, I am so jealous of you. Wow, teach me your ways. But yeah, I don't think I would do anything because I never really had like a reward system in place for myself when I studied, when I did. But yeah, I don't know. I wasn't really much of someone that like needed motivation to study other than like get good grades or mama's gonna yell at you. So you know how that is. All right. And so before we move on to the questions, we're gonna have a song break and I bring you Pac-Man by Ege. Yeah.
Love me, it's just getting harder and harder to do. Got my hair sizzling, my phone keeps calling you. You never pick up unless you got nothing to do. But you say that you want me, but just I want you. Over and over, like it's forever. Well, your games ever be through. Play me over and over, pound when I love her. Hoping you run out of quarters soon. Don't hurt me, leave me. No, I don't mean that.
How'd you guys like Ege? Yaj? I never know what to call him. I read his name and it's like Yaj. Ege. Yeah, I don't know. What if the J was like in Spanish where it's like a Y? It's like yeah. I don't know. How'd you like Pac-Man? Drop a comment down below and stream it. Anyways, time for questions. This is from Star J Moon on Twitter. They ask, how does it feel like to be an idol? Well, this is a broad question that could have so many answers. Let me try to condense this. I'm going to give you my, let's see. I'll give you like my top three pros, my top, and then like my top three cons, I guess. I mean, pros is I get to share my art with the world and I, you know, seeing the fans that I've accrued over the years of my career, nothing makes me happier when I see their positive reactions to what we're putting out here. Like everyone behind the scenes too at Zany Bros and ZB Label, like, and like all my dance teachers and trainers and everything. Like, it's just really nice seeing how positively people react to your art and like the hard work that goes on behind it. It makes everything feel like it's worth it in the end. Number two pro about being an idol, I guess, is just getting to perform in general. Like, you know, people ask me, like, did you want to be an idol, like, at a really young age? And it's like, I can't say yes to that because that'd be lying. Because I only found out about K-pop in 2008 when I was, like, how old am I now? Let's see, that was 12 years ago. Well, yeah, when I was 12. Yeah, because I'm 24 this year. Wow. Incredible. So, yeah, when I was 12, when SHINee debuted, like, that's when I found out about K-pop. But from a young age, I've always wanted to be a performer of sorts. So getting to perform, like, especially when, like, you're promoting and doing music shows every day of the week, like, it's so much fun for me. I really love that. And then three, I guess it's just getting to meet like-minded individuals who share the same, like, passions. My wrist just popped. Share the same passions, share the same ideals. Yeah, got the same dreams. Some of you, like, some of my friends and I have really similar backstories even. It's really crazy to find how similar you are with other artists in the industry. It's comforting. It's comforting, especially because I've been a solo artist this whole time. I have my lovely, lovely staff as well, which is very grateful for. We're like a family. But when you find other artists with similar background stories, it's kind of even more comforting. It's very nice. And then if I were to say there's any cons, I mean, there's nothing extremely negative, honestly. Like, I mean, not just being an idol, but I feel like anybody in any field of work can relate. You're going to have your bad days. I mean, you're never going to be 100% on this perfect streak, the whole, like, your whole line of your career. Everyone's going to have a day when they're off. Everyone's going to have a day when they're genuinely just tired, when things are difficult. I mean, I don't think any career path has an easy route, so to say. So I'd say one of the negative things, I guess, could be, like, you know, trying to stay consistent, I guess. Because, I mean, you know, while your job is your job and it's very important that you do your best, you know, you got to remember you're only human too. That's the thing. So, I mean, trying to balance out your human life versus, like, what you got to do and, like, how you got to be whenever, like, work demands it. I guess consistency is one thing. And then for me personally, sleep, inconsistent sleep is a thing. I had insomnia before I, like, even began this grand scheme of idling. But, like, whenever your schedules are, like, you could ask any artist in the industry, I guarantee you, schedules are always like, woo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. So it's, like, not really consistent. So it's kind of hard to base a sleep schedule off of that sometimes. And when you do have days off, that's when your brain is like, let's stay awake until 5 a.m. Oh, you want to sleep? You're going to lie down for 10 minutes and then you're still not going to sleep. That's it. But then, like, if there was a third kind, I don't really know. I think those are just the two. But maybe socializing is a little difficult because, you know, you got to be careful. That's the thing. In this line of work, you do have to be careful. So I guess socializing is a little difficult, but there are so many more pros than there are cons to being an artist here. Like, whoop, whoop. And then we got, let's see, Chanchimachi, yes, from Twitter. And they ask, do you eat what you like first or save it for the last part? I'm assuming if you're talking about if someone brings you to dinner or something, if you get a plate of food, do you eat what you like first or save it for last? I don't know. Because, if we're talking about, like, a plate of food, I'll throw this back to my mom's cooking. My mom would make salmon at home. Like, she would, like, cook salmon. Oh, so good. And then we would have, like, rice sometimes and maybe, like, green beans or asparagus. And then she'd make, like, a pasta with, like, what is it called? My brain had it and then it just lost it. It's, like, pesto. Mm. It would be, like, pasta with, like, a pesto sauce. And here's the thing. I'm not really a pesto person. Like, I mean, of course, I'm gonna eat my mama's cooking, but, like, I'm not really a pesto person. So I would eat everything I like first and save that for last. I'm someone that tends to rush through what I like eating. I mean, you can ask my staff. Anytime we go out to eat, I inhale my food. I don't chew. I don't chew. I just unhinge my jaw like a snake, open my throat, and it's just like a garbage disposal. I inhale my food. So I tend to eat what I like first and then leave what I'm not so crazy about last. But I tend to be someone that tries to eat everything at least. I feel very guilty if I leave food on my plate. But yes, yeah, so I eat what I like first. And then if I don't particularly fancy some pesto today, I leave that for last. But yeah, with that said, do not forget to send us your questions with hashtag Hedig and tell us what you think should be our next topic for the next go round. And of course, don't forget to follow us on social media, which is Instagram and Twitter at The Dive Studios. There's also our TikTok, which is Dive Studios. Yes. YouTube, which is youtube.com/Dive Studios, or for the full length episodes, it is /Dive Pods. youtube.com/Dive Pods, ladies and gents. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and yeah, until then, I will catch y'all on the flip side. Bye.
How did I get here? With Jay.